Yes, it's Monday, and we all know what that means by now, don't we? Very much indeed. Yes, we do. It's time for Sir Kevin of Eustaceshire. I don't like talking like that, because there's a word for it. It basically means knobhead. But, yeah. So I'm going to try and stop talking like that, like a medieval knight. And instead, I'm going to talk a bit more street. I don't know how to do that either. I'll just be myself. How are you all doing? I hope you're all doing fine. In fact, I hope you're all doing as well as a high jumper who's just went, "I've just Fosbury flopped." And everyone's went, "Well done, Steve. We know how fragile your back is." So, yeah. Anyway, what have we got in store for you today? Well, all the usual things. I'm, of course, going to say a big thank you to our patrons, although there will be no song this week, nor any names called out. And that's not because we haven't had any patrons. It's because I have no guitars with me. And it's like the third week running, I haven't got a guitar, so I need to make it my mission this week to bring a guitar into the studio so that I can play, well, a Patreon song. Because we all enjoy them, don't we? Yes, ending on a seventh and all that malarkey. So next week we shall have a literal jamboree. And please don't take the word literal literally, because we won't have a jamboree, but I will sing the names of our newest Patreons over recent weeks. Anyway, when you sign up to Patreon, not only do you support this little fledgling of a show, which indeed it is and it had always been, but you also get over sincerely, like genuinely, about 300 hours worth of Patreon-only content. We're talking about a Patreon that's been going for about 6 years, 2 shows a week, 30 minutes per show. I mean, one of the shows is a ramble, which is just me talking. Evidently, you can tell I like to do that, about anything and everything that crosses my mind. Another, we try and remain paranormal, and we've been doing quite well in recent weeks, mainly because it's just been me. And when it's just me, because occasionally it's me and Becca, and when it's me and Becca, we have a habit of going off track, shall we say. But when it's just me, I can focus a bit more. So what I was thinking I'd do, and what we've started to do, is a paranormal world tour. Because I was thinking it's not just English-speaking countries that have paranormal phenomena. Therefore, we all could be missing out on amazing stories in languages we just don't speak. So we've done so far Italy, France, Spain. We're doing Europe mainly at the minute. But it's revealed some things where I'm like, oh my God. Like, for example, I will spill the beans on this one. We done Italy last week. And I think it's a place in the Lombardy region of Italy. They believe that when a priest carries out an exorcism, be it of a person or a building or a cursed object or whatever, that the spirit inside, whereas we all assume, or I assumed, it goes back to the devil, and the devil goes, "Oh, you failed, you knobhead. Detention for 2 weeks," or something like that. What they reckon is, no, 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 because it's earthbound now, it can't go to somewhere celestial. Therefore, it goes to a place known as the confined, and that's where it's sent. And I thought, wow, what a premise for a film, that this area called the confined is breached. Somehow, it's almost like the plot of a Ghostbusters thing. Do you know what I mean? I might even get in touch with Dan Aykroyd and say, "You know your next Ghostbusters film? Have you ever heard about the Lombardi theory about the confined? You should look into it. Imagine if it broke a wall and they all ran out." But it's very reminiscent of Ghostbusters 1 or Ghostbusters, where that happens to the containment unit. In a way, the Ghostbusters containment unit is the confined. Interesting, Kev. Thanks, Kev. Anyway, so you get all of that over on Patreon. So if you want to join up, go over to patreon.com/ we need to talk about ghosts. And standard, you would normally get your name sung as a thank you. And you will, just when I have a musical instrument to accompany me. I could do it a cappella, but believe me, no one wants to hear that. And I can't end on a seventh. So what we're going to have is all the usual stuff. I'm about to do a paranormal review, but I review something paranormal so you don't have to. Then we have a listener tale, which has been sent to us today by, well, not exactly today, because that would be extremely weird, but it's been sent to us by Lillian. And we're going to read that out. Let me make sure I can say her name. She doesn't say I can't. Well, if at some point I read on and she says I can't, I will go back and bleep out her name. But for now, it's Lillian. Now I need to beep it out twice. Honest to God, Kev. And then we go for a quite a hefty visit to the Turret of Terror, where Becca resides in her corner. And she's going to share with us a tale from Reddit. And it's one where we discuss things like the astral plane, the etheric plane. It's quite an interesting Reddit submission by the submitter, I do believe. But anyway, enough of me rambling on. Shall we have a paranormal review? I think we shall. Yes, it's that time of the week where I tell you, well, don't tell you anything, I give you my review of something paranormal so that, well, maybe you do have to go and watch it yourself. I basically watch something paranormal, read something paranormal, or listen to something paranormal, tell you about it, and tell you whether you should or well, in fact, I never tell you that you shouldn't, because I think you should always have your own opinion. My opinion, realistically, counts for naught, zero, zilch, nilch, nyet. That's just no. But basically, Becca got me, which is lovely. And two of her friends, which is weird. It's not weird, really. We all planned to go together, but Becca bought them as a gift for me to go and see tickets to go and see 222. I think Danny Robbins either wrote it or was involved in it in some way. And I've just recently said on a Patreon, there's something in me which is like, a bit unsure about Danny Robbins. I need to meet the man himself, I think, because Uncanny's amazing. Do you know what I mean? It's really well done. There's just something, and I don't know what it is. And it's me, it's not him. I'm sure he's a lovely bloody bloke, but there's just something I can't quite put my finger on. And maybe it's going to take meeting him and going, and you know what? If I do meet him and he's lovely, I'll say to him, you know what? For ages, I thought there was something amiss, but you're a lovely fella. And I'll be quite honest. And if I meet him and there is something amiss, I'll keep my mouth shut. But I'm sure he's lovely. I don't know what it is. But whatever he had to do with this, I think he wrote it in all fairness. And if he did, then I'm clapping. Literally. Because it was amazing. Now, when I say amazing, don't expect jump scare after jump scare after jump scare. Becca spent the entirety of the play, like curled up in a ball, prepared to dive under my armpit, sort of thing. And I was like, why are you doing that? And she was like, she said, you've prepped me for when jump scares happen. So for example, I have over the years, you know, when we've watched scary films, I've kind of educated her in terms of the second scare. You know, for example, if there's a noise coming from the cupboard and the music amps up and they open the cupboard door and the music stops and there's nothing there and the woman or the man takes a sigh of relief, when they close the cupboard, there'll be something behind the cupboard. That's the second scare. And it's a concept, it's a thing, it's something they've put into the film or movie or play to make you do the same thing. You build up your tension, you let it go, and then it's released, you're caught off guard. You'd literally taken by surprise. But it's so almost cliche now that you can call it. On a badly written thing, you can call it a mile away. You're like, don't worry, there'll be nothing behind this door. But it will when he closes it. Sort of thing. So she's kind of educated in terms of jump scares. It takes a lot for me to jump from a jump scare these days. And I think anyone who's into the paranormal, in terms of fictional paranormal at least, it's, again, we're all educated in it. We all know. It began with that infamous YouTube video of allegedly like a Honda advert of a car just driving around the mountains and then the face zoomed in, the very first jump scare. That got me. And then your brain gets trained, doesn't it? It's like, expect the unexpected. And the unexpected becomes the expected. And then you've kind of ruined all jump scares for yourself. So therefore, it takes a lot to genuinely go, huh! Do you know what I mean? If you're into this sort of thing. which we all are, of course. So anyway, back to 22. Is it 2:22 or 22:20? Oh, no, it's 2:22, obviously. Otherwise, it'd be 22 minutes past 10. So 2:22. It's really hard to... I want to tell you about the premise, but... In fact, I can tell you about the premise without giving spoilers. Okay. So the premise is a dinner party, so to speak. Well, drinks, really. Like... two gentrified couples, you know. I know you can't gentrify people, but you know what I mean. The sort of people who would gentrify an area. Two people have moved into a house with a new baby. Two of their friends have come over to have drinks. That's the scene. It's a one-set play, which I like. I do like very simple stage sets. And it's a four-person play. So there's two couples and they're sitting having drinks and then they get on to talking about belief in ghosts and the paranormal and stuff like that. And the lady who owns the house with her partner and their child says, it's very weird. For the last couple of nights, I've heard somebody walking around the baby's cot and crying, coming through the baby monitor. And her partner's like, don't be fucking daft, you haven't. And the two people who've came, one is allegedly has psychicness running through their blood and his mother was a psychic and he's got the gift and all this. And he's like, don't poo-poo it. And his partner kind of fancies the other guy on the opposing couple and their ex-uni mates and all this. And that's where I'll leave the information about it. Otherwise, I will get into spoiler territory. So it's built around this. And she says that the point of it being 2:22, and this again isn't spoilerish because the fucking title of the thing's called 2:22. Sorry for the swearing, by the way. But the title of the thing's called 2:22. She says it happened at 2:22 in the morning. So the challenge in the play, they say, all right then, if it happens, let's all stay awake till 2:22 and see if it takes place. So that is the premise, okay, of the play. But it's wonderful. It is truly wonderful. And I'll tell you why it's wonderful. It's wonderful because it's one of those plays you talk about it when you're walking home and you're like, ah, that makes sense now. Or, ah, that explains this. Ah, that explains that. It's one of those sort of things. Now, what I will say, and when you see it, and you should see it, and I think they're going to eventually make it into a film. It'd be interesting to see how it transforms to screen because, is this spoilerish? Yes, it is. I won't say that. But what I will say is there's a similar film. That's all I'll say. And it was a risk within, I would imagine, within the writing of this to make it different, one, and to still... do what it does, and it's, I want to say so much more, but for it to still do what it does, even I was took aback at how cleverly it was done. I'm going to say even I, you know, listen to me, even Irish, and if Irish taken aback, get on me. But I mean, you know, in my defense, you know, my living is the paranormal. That's how I make my living, reading, listening, watching stuff about the paranormal on a daily basis, from waking till sleeping, especially Monday to Friday. So in fairness to me, if I'm walking away going, that was frigging boss, it's frigging boss, I would say. You may disagree. You might have seen it and went, I don't see what the fuss was about. And, you know, that's fine. We've all got opinions. And, when I started this, I'm going to do a paranormal review. I don't like reviewers in general. It started from my hatred of music reviewers because I found a certain music reviewer in Liverpool ruined the Liverpool music scene for about 8 years. They ruined it because they only would big up the bands they liked. And the bands they liked weren't bands. They were like people who would, I don't know, they would tape record the sound of feathers brushing against a radiator and then project it on a screen with like droplets of water from a cave. And they go 10 out of 10. And then someone who actually writes music, songs, etc., like a full band would be on and they'd be like 1 out of 10, if they even bothered to go and review it. So they killed the music scene. And this fucker, pardon the French, couldn't play an instrument, but he's reviewing other people and how they perform. And it's like, no, sorry, your review is weightless. Because those who can do, those who can't review. He says, doing a paranormal review. But anyway, back to 222. There's far too many rhymes in that. I did like that. All coincidental. Anyway, if by chance you have not yet seen it, I think it's currently at the, was it the Empire we seen it? Yeah, it was the Liverpool Empire, I think. Oh, no, it's not. It's not. It's finished there. So it's currently doing a tour of the country. Go and watch it when it's in your area. I think it's doing a big long run in London. So get to London and go and see it if you can. I believe it's going stateside. And I think there's definitely going to be a film version in the works at some point. But however you get to see it, you know, you should definitely as a paranormal fan, see it. You really should. You really should. I think you'll really enjoy it. And when you finish it, you will be like, you'll talk about it for ages. Even Becca has said it's played on her mind since she's seen it. Not necessarily in a like a spooky way where like she's scared to open a door, as in like she's been thinking about how well it was done and things like that. So yeah. So 222, two thumbs to the sky. Tutu, 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 in a tutu. Okay, so now it's time for my favourite time of the week. And that's where why? And that's where I was going to say we and I, and it came out as why. Maybe that's how the word why was invented, probably not. Anyway, this is where I get to read your true paranormal experiences back to you. Well, you didn't all send this one in. This is, of course, from Lillian. And I'm going to say the name again, Lillian, just to give myself extra work if at any point she says, please don't use my name. Anyway, Lillian writes, hi, Kev. Hi. This happened when I was about 14 years old. I'm now 20 and it still sends shivers down my spine. I shared a room with my 3-year-old sister in our small trailer home in Virginia, USA. For as long as I can remember, I've had certain sensitivity to things of the spiritual or paranormal. I've even been made fun of by both family and friends who've not seen or heard the same things I have. This story, however, I have told to no one, due to the mockery I've encountered. My sister was troubled with night terrors or nightmares since she was old enough to sleep on her own. Being in my room, this was terrifying enough. Her waking up, screaming and running into my parents' room, leaving the door to our room open. On this particular night, I'd gotten up to use the toilet. When I reached the doorway, I looked up to see my sister sitting upright in her bed. I was shocked, but not afraid. I assumed she'd had a nightmare and woken herself up. I smiled and stepped back into the room. It's okay, go back to sleep. She turned and looked right at me. And then she screamed. But not like a 3-year-old little girl should scream. It was guttural and demonic. I was frozen to the spot. I felt as if I couldn't breathe. It seemed to last forever, but it was realistically only a few seconds. The room fell silent again, her eyes still locked on mine. My heart was racing, and I could tell I had a cold sweat on my back and my forehead. I called her by name. Evie, are you okay? Her face broke out into a smile. Then she let out a deep, masculine laugh. Again, not one from a little girl. Fear held me in place, still unable to move or speak. I felt as if someone or something was holding me in place. After the seconds dragged on forever, she lay back down and went straight to sleep. I, however, did not sleep at all that night. I sat up awake, flinching at every shadow or creak in the house. The next morning, I asked my little sister if she'd had any bad dreams. What she said shook me to my core. She said there was an all-black man laughing at her, and he made her cry. He was tall and stood in the doorway of our room. This forever changed how I view the paranormal. I now am constantly aware of my surroundings. I even told my grandparents about a haunting in their house. No one believed me until the light started flickering on and off on their own. They finally got a pastor to pray over the home. My grandmother admitted to me that she should have listened to my warnings. Nothing's happened to my sister since, and her nightmares don't appear anymore. Only on occasions do I see a shadow out of the corner of my eye. But I am still afraid of seeing the all-black man in my dreams, or maybe in my room. Lillian. Wow. Lillian, what are you doing, putting the fear of God into me? My time, it's 20 past 10 in the morning. I should not be this scared at 20 past 10 in the morning, but I am. Thanks, Lil. No, seriously, thank you so much for sending that in. And before I talk about your experience, if you guys have got any small, big, large, medium, you know, you choose your own size, paranormal experiences, then send them on in to contact@talkaboutghosts.com. Now, Lillian, the thing which stuck with me is I've experienced something similar, nowhere near the level of that. But when my sister first had her first child, you know, as opposed to the second time or third time she had her first child, Kevin. Anyway, when she had her first kid, our Harry, he was staying in our, they were living in mine and my dad's house, or well, my dad's and my house. And Harry had his own room, a little room at the front, and he was about three. And one night, I used to always pop my head in and check in on him. And he had his own little bed, dead cute. One night, I popped my head in, and he was sat cross-legged, upright, facing the wall. I'm talking like maybe 5 inches from the wall. And he was like smiling, laughing, rocking left to right, and talking. But he could talk at that point. You know, he could say the odd word. He could say like, I want that, or whatever. But he was going like, and saying this like language, for want of a better phrase. It was just probably baby babble. But, you know, to me, it sounded like some demonic language as he was like then laughing, like he was talking to the wall. And I just closed the door and I thought, nope. So I can picture that perfectly, when what you're saying about your sister. I pictured it with our Harry. But the noises you're saying that's coming out of this little girl's mouth, God forgive me, but I'd be out of that window quicker than Kit could say to Michael Knight, Michael, the police are chasing us. Shall I go into hyper overdrive? That's a very nuanced reference, I do grant you. But what I mean is, that's effing terrifying. And I think we can all agree. Can we? Yes. Wow. Lillian, thank you so much. And God forbid, but if anything should happen, do let us know. Anything further, I should add. And I'm so sorry that you were mocked and you've been mocked for just trying to tell people what you've experienced. It's not uncommon. It's arguably the most common thing that people who encounter the paranormal face on a daily basis just brush you off. I mean, to quote Taylor Swift, I don't know any Taylor Swift songs. I know she's got one called Shake It Off. So sing that to yourself. You'll know how it goes. I don't. But I imagine it goes something like, shake it off, shake it off. When you're getting bullied, shake it off. If you want to tell a ghost story, shake it off and tell those who know. Da-da-da. And if you buy a ticket for the Taylor Swift Eras Tour, you will, of course, see me as support. Now, it is time, if we're all prepared, to don our warmest clothes, open that creaky door, and head up to what has become an upstairs plate, not a basement, and climb the creaky wooden stairs to Becca's Tower of Terror. Join me as we head to Becca's Reddit Corner.
Ladies and gentlemen, now it is time for Paranormal Reddit Corner with Becca.
Okay, and we have climbed the stairs to the Tower of Terror,
da, da, da,
where none other than the lady known as Rebecca, or Becca, from Becca's Reddit Corner, lives,
hello,
breathes, exists. Hello.
Hello.
How are you today?
I'm okay, how are you?
I'm okay.
Good.
Are you a bit hungover?
No, I'm fine.
As you can tell by that response, that's a yes. So, what have you been doing?
Just chilling.
Chilling?
Yeah, yeah.
Chilling and relaxing to the maxing?
Yeah.
Excellent. Any plans for this week?
I don't think so. We've got any major plans, have we?
Well, we were going to go to the pitches and we were going to go for a meal.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got a meal for a charity event.
Yeah, so the charity that we've done some stuff for in the past, they're hosting like a thank you dinner, aren't they?
Yeah.
Which would be nice. Yeah, that'd be good. I think he's like a very good host of things like that, so I expect that'll be lovely.
Yeah, only you could be like, no. Like, oh really, just two nights out and a trip to the pictures. Yeah, not man.
Really quiet week by our standards, I'd say.
Yeah, and then Monday, a week this very listening experience, you'll be on a plane.
I will, going back out.
Going back to your favourite place in the world, the Middle East.
I mean, that's a stretch, but yeah.
Yeah, well, it is the Middle East. That's not the stretchy part.
That's not the stretchy part.
Okay, well, I have picked something fresh off the presses of Reddit for you today. And it's someone in need of help from only 11 hours ago. Can we help?
Possibly.
We can try. Okay, I'm going to pass over to you a message from the username psychologicalback 736.
Wow, thank you. Welcome to Reddit Corner with Becca.
Thank you.
The title of this story is Something Strange Happened and I Need Help.
Dun, dun, dun.
Let's begin. I need help. I'm scared.
Good start.
I have posted this in different places. I'm just looking for help from wherever I can find it. Just an FYI.
Now that sounds like someone in genuine need of help.
It does. I never thought I'd be on the other side of this page, but I'm in need of your guys' help. Last night, something really strange happened. Before I get to that, I'll tell you guys about the balloon.
Tell us about the balloon! Tell us about the balloon!
There's this balloon in my room which follows me around. I thought it was just a funny little coincidence that it would land in the same places as me, till it started happening constantly.
How long have you had the balloon?
It would float down to my exact spot, all the way from across the room. It would follow me outside of my room. Windows closed, not draft. I even put it out and it appeared at my door. I have video evidence, if anyone would like.
Yes, please.
So last night, I woke up at around 12. I had trapped the balloon underneath my hat to stop it from floating around.
Doesn't sound like the most solid of trapping devices.
But I found it directly in the centre of my floor. I assumed that it was my chair since all of my lights were off and it was dark out. I grabbed it and that's when I figured it was the balloon. I didn't think much of it since it was raining outside and my window actually had been open, so I just put it back.
Fair enough.
I went to lay back down and I fell asleep for about 20 minutes. I woke up close to 1 and I just tried to go back to sleep, because your girl has classes in the morning. I closed my eyes, I did not fall asleep. When I closed them, which ended up only being for a second or two, I could still see everything. I could see my room and everything in it.
Okay, so that's like astral projection. Well, ethereal projection, but anyway.
I looked towards my ceiling and saw a man staring back at me. His limbs were backwards, as if he had crawled there and turned his head all the way around. He stared back at me with such a sinister smile. His eyes were red and he looked like he wanted something from me, like he wanted me. His arms and legs looked as though they had been dislocated. I immediately opened my eyes because I do not get down with that stuff. I ended up calling my boyfriend because I was scared and crying uncontrollably. He was no help, pretty sure that he scared me even more. Still love him though.
What? How did he scare you more?
I also texted my mum, I live with her, I am a teen, and told her that I needed to be cleansed. She came upstairs with her husband and prayed over me. The man
now that's I don't know. I don't know. I'm just saying maybe it's
Can
a
we
Liverpool,
save comments for the end, please?
Yeah, I'm just saying maybe it's a Liverpool council estate thing. But if I went downstairs as a teenager and said to me, Dad, I need to be cleansed, he wouldn't go, up you go, I'm going to pray over you. He'd go, what? Get some soap. Do you know what I mean? And that's from a Roman Catholic family.
Okay, but just because that's what your dad would do doesn't mean that that's what everyone would do.
I think it is.
No, it's not.
Anyway.
The man that I saw had a brown complexion, red eyes, and a red t-shirt. I feel like he's after me, like he wants me. I'm scared, and I feel like it's getting too close. It was right in front of me. Can anyone help me? If anyone has had similar experiences, please message me privately. If anyone could be of any help, please message me. I've always been more on the spiritual side, and it's nothing out of the ordinary for my body to predict something bad or for me to feel a presence. But he was right there. I saw him right in front of me. I can make out every detail. It was so vivid. I've told this to a couple of people since it happened last night, so they might recognise it. At this point, I do not care. I need help.
Okay, well, before you go into the replies, my thing would say the balloon is 99% I'm confident on bollocks. Not as in bollocks that it didn't happen. Bollocks as in static, for example. We've all seen static in a balloon. A balloon will stick to you with static. So therefore, that's proof that electricity affects the movement of a balloon.
Yeah, and also, you don't need a draft for a balloon to be moving. Even like your body moving around moves the air enough that would move the balloon.
Yeah, we've got a balloon, funny enough, a rainbow balloon, helium balloon, above the TV, which is approximately, say, maybe 15 feet away, would you say?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, now, sorry, no, 15 feet.
Yeah.
No. How big do you think our room is?
Well, I'm 5'10", and if I lay down against that wall, my head wouldn't hit the mat.
Yes, it would.
It would. All right, let's
say... Well, no, from where you are, it would.
All right, let's say 12 feet.
Okay, I think 10.
Okay, 10 feet, even 10 feet. But my point is, there's that balloon. You ready?
Yeah. All right, you're scaring the cat.
Right, now just going a big blow. Nothing's happening to that balloon yet. Right? But it will. Eventually.
I think you've missed.
I haven't missed. I think you've missed. I haven't.
It's okay, princess. I know, it was a weird noise.
But this is my point. This is the point that I'm proving.
It would be there by now, you've missed.
I don't think I have.
Silence on the podcast isn't good.
It looks like I've missed.
You've missed. That's all.
But my point is...
I think you just didn't get high enough. I think if you stood up, you would have a better chance of doing it. Do you want to try again?
Yeah. Go then. But I'm going to scare the cat. I don't want to scare the cat.
Well, can't you blow heavily without making that ridiculous noise?
No, because that's how you blow. Have you ever blew before?
It's okay. I know what you're doing.
Right. Hold on. Now, if we wait...
Air doesn't travel that slow.
It does, well, that's my point. Yeah, but anyway, we're not going to wait on that because it's against the wall anyway, so it probably wouldn't catch it anyway. But my point being, and it's an old balloon, you've had that over 3 weeks. My point being that can happen with balloons, as in like you blow from far away, or like you say, you walk past and a draft gets caused. And it won't impact the balloon till several seconds later.
Mm.
So if you're looking for that sort of stuff, you'll be like, but I'm sat down. Why is the balloon moving? You'll be like, because 5 seconds ago, you weren't sat down.
Yeah, there can be a delay. Not as much of a delay as you were making out with that, but yeah, there can be a delay.
And also, there's a vacuum caused when you walk past an object like a balloon, so it will follow you.
Mm.
You know, it, and once it's got momentum, it will move.
Yeah.
So it's unsurprising. And then you could have, for argument's sake, a staticky jumper on. So if I wouldn't be surprised if we had like a mid-height balloon in here and you walk past it at speed, it would follow you. Do you know what I mean? If it was a helium balloon mid-height, it'd follow you because you've caused a vacuum and it's went into the vacuum.
Mm.
So the balloon thing, I'm a little bit... But if you want to go down the actual paranormal route, then what she next describes is the ethereal plane, which is... So the astral plane, when people talk about astral projection, the astral plane, people get confused. The astral plane is a completely different place than Earth. It's the astral. So it's like it's like what people would envisage a psychedelic trip. Do you know, as in like, there's no couch, there's no nothing. Like you're on like, you're speaking to like a star.
Dimension.
Exactly. The ethereal plane is Earth, right?
Right.
But your spirit body can, and what most astral projection is actually etheric projection. So you come out your body and you're on Earth. The difficulty is that the etheric plane can have deities within it. So you can see alleged spirits because you yourself at that point are an alleged spirit. You yourself have come out as a spirit to the etheric plane. So you're there. So there can be other beings there. So there's been like, I think, very fake experiments where two people have went, let's both meet up on the etheric plane, and they've allegedly both come out the body at night, travelled to the shop down the road, for example, and met up as two spirits. So whenever you hear stories of people coming out the body and saying they floated through the roof and they could see all the houses, that's the ethereal plane that they're on. But the point being is that it can be not invaded, but it can also inhabit or be inhabited by negative entities. So this thing could have been in a room, is what
you're
I'm
saying. You're presenting all this very much as fact, aren't you?
Well, because I've experienced it. So to me, it is fact. I've experienced the ethereal plane. But only for a split second, but I experienced it. But my point being is that if you want to go down the route that the balloon is being pulled and the balloon is somehow paranormally, you know, being thinged, then arguably, if she's in the ethereal and has seen this figure, it could be connected. But why this figure, maybe they're just weak, but why they would use a balloon to, if they're meant to be as malevolent as they've described.
Yeah, well, I think you're right in that we need to know how long the balloon has been there.
Mm.
And like, why is it bothering her? Why is she just getting rid of the balloon?
Well, yeah, exactly, yeah.
It's a super easy thing to get rid of.
It's a very easy thing to get rid of. But it is interesting that, you know, it'd be interesting to know if there was anything else that had gone on other than this balloon, because we can write off, in my opinion, the balloon. If this entity in the black, in the red T-shirt with red eyes that's hovering above her bed that she can see in the ethereal plane is, as she says, wanting her. If she gets rid of the balloon and other shit starts moving, then okay. Then, all right, now we're getting a bit more down the believable tracts. Other than that, it could just be a nightmare.
Yeah, good.
You know, and you're putting two and two together.
Also, just like a vision, you know, sometimes people have intrusive thoughts, don't they? You know, it could just be an image that came to mind, not that was actually there, but, you know, just a horrifying image.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, as much as I am a believer in all this, I'm also sceptical enough to know, for example, I've mentioned this before on the show, at one point within the last 15, 20 years, there was a woman, a nurse, nursery nurse, called Louise Woodward, and she was caught on baby camera shaking a baby because it was crying and the baby died.
Mm.
And she was obviously brought up on murder charges.
Yeah, I remember that was a huge case.
Huge case because she denied it and said, like, oh, I didn't do anything. But they had video evidence of her doing it. Mm. And the post-mortem obviously was like, you know, this is conducive with violent shaking, like a car crash equivalent for a toddler.
Yeah, you can't shake a baby.
No, you can't shake a baby. So, but whilst all that was going on, I was sleeping in the top bunk of a bunk bed, right? And I woke up and genuinely Louise Woodward was stood about an inch away from my face for a split second. Because your boy ain't down with that shit. And then I like opened my eyes properly and she was gone. But I always think back to that and think, if that was anything else, if that was, say, for example, my brain put a demon there, I right now would be telling you I saw a demon.
Yes, you would think it was real. It was only because it was Louise Woodward.
Yeah. So. It was only because it was clearly Louise Woodward and she clearly wasn't in my bedroom. But it's interesting that, as I say, if it was something paranormal, like a demon, or if I'd had horns, or if it was the devil himself, I'd be telling you now, I've had two genuine paranormal encounters in my life.
Mm.
Whereas I just had the one.
Wasn't it? I wonder, it'd be funny if she's in prison saying, I honestly, for a split second, I was in this teenage lad's bedroom in Heighton.
You know what? In this wild, wild world, it could well be, because still to this day, one of the best stories I've ever read comes from a girl who lives at the bottom of my dad's road. And she wrote in either to this show or to The Dark Paranormal. I'm not sure which one. And I think I told you about it, where she says she lay down on her couch. She lives literally at the bottom of my dad's road. Mm-hmm. Lives on her own in one of the flats down there. And she decided to have an afternoon nap, right? And she came out of a body in this nap, or dreamt she'd come out of a body in this nap, right? Mm-hmm. And she was stood in her living room watching herself iron clothes in the kitchen and fold these clothes up and put them into a suitcase, right? And she looked back and saw herself lying asleep on the couch. And she said the hairdo and the ironing stopped. And was like distracted by something.
Mm.
And she knew at that exact moment, or she felt in that exact moment, she had a choice. She could either step into the body that was doing in the ironing, and she would think, what a strange daydream to have about lying on the couch. Or she could step back into the body that was asleep on the couch and wake up and think, what a strange daydream about doing the ironing, right? So she decides to go back to the body that she's fell asleep in, because obviously you would.
I don't know. I'd be interested to know where I was going.
Well, this is the thing. So 2 weeks later, out of nowhere, right, her granddad rings her and says, what are you doing this weekend? This is like on a Friday afternoon. What are you doing this weekend? She said, nothing. Why? She said, because we've managed to get a caravan in North Wales. If you fancy coming with me and your nan. Or similar sort of family thing. Oh, she went, yeah, all right, yeah, let them pack a bag and I'll be with you. So she sets up the ironing board, she gets a suitcase out, throws it on the table, starts ironing stuff, folding it up, putting it away. And suddenly stops and thinks, shit, this was the exact thing I seen from my out-of-body experience.
Yeah.
And she like looked into the living room and thought, am I there now? Right? And it does make me think, if she did choose to step into that body, would she have...
Missed 2 weeks.
But she wouldn't have missed 2 weeks because she'd know those 2 weeks, do you know what I mean? Because to her, that was just a daydream.
Yeah, but she might not have.
I know, but it's such a weird sort of... thing about time, you know, they say all time exists at once.
Yeah.
It was such a real, it always plays on my mind. Very short story it was too. Probably shorter than what I've just made it up to be. anyway, As always, Becca, thank you for allowing us into your corner.
You're welcome.
And we hopefully will have a last one before you depart for warmer climes.
Mm-hmm. I'm only going for 2 weeks.
I know, yeah. So I know you'll be
back. Last one.
But I mean, you know, we'll hopefully have one before you go.
Yeah.
Okay, then.
Okay. Thank you for visiting Reddit Corner with Becca.
You're welcome. I mean, is that right? Thank you for visiting Reddit Corner. You're welcome. Well,
no, because I'm not really thanking you.
Oh, okay.
I'm thanking the listeners.
Well, they're on behalf of the listeners. You're welcome. Okay. Tati, bye, everyone.
Bye, guys.